Christmas, Terry. Merry Christmas, Mother. Merry Christmas, Tad. Merry Christmas, Yolanda. Merry Christmas, Brooke.
Merry Christmas, Kirk.
It's time.
It's time again for the holidays. With pain and sorrow miles away. But in my spirit I've got to say, there's no Christmas without you. With caroling and mistletoe, children playing in the snow. But in their hearts the world must know, there's no Christmas without you.
Your gift?
Your gift of love.
Christmas songs. No Christmas time without you, Jesus. Yes. And Merry Christmas. Jesus is the reason for all the seasons. Amen. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, good morning. And welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Runner for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Kathy Kleiber, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Sunday worship service is happening. As always, We will start out with our proclamation, our scripture, and prayer. And at Wonderful Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so with our proclamation, scripture, and prayer is our very own sister, Deaconess Lisa Thornton. Good morning. Thank you for being
Happy
with us.
Happy Sunday. Good morning.
Yes. Happy Sunday. Yes. There she is. Thank you.
Amen.
Okay. Take it away.
Happy Sunday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners who are listening in. We thank you for listening in and sharing your Sunday with us. I will be reading our proclamation, the Why We Are Here proclamation. We proclaim that Jesus the King pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, was buried, was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as the final judge to rule. The scripture will come from Luke 2nd chapter, the 1st through the 14th verse. That's Luke 2nd chapter, the 1st through the 14th verse. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great and mighty word. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will participate in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lift Jesus so that all who are lost today will be found. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey, Father. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Thornton, thank you. The birth of Jesus, we thank you. You know we appreciate you. Have a
Amen.
Beautiful day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Amen. Good morning to you. Come, let us adore him. Amen. This is that time of season where we get to have a whole lot of fun. We get to give gifts. We get to receive gifts, if that's your thing. Amen. And we get to praise God. You know, we decided on December 25th, I think it was Pope Julius around 350 A.D., who decided that Christians were going to celebrate Christmas. Amen. Amen. We'll talk about that a whole lot when we do the history of Christmas. But anyway, what I'm trying to tell you is that our God is an incredible God, and guess what kind of praise he deserves? Incredible praise. You got it right.
Some great and some small, you being God, delivered me from them all. Still can't believe all the way you made. Oh Lord, in incredible.
Some of what he's done for me, how he's opened up so many doors. You may look at me from the outside and think I got here on my own, but there's no way that you could ever know how much grace and mercy I've been shown. If you look into my eyes, you see life has tried to get the best of me. But I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I sing his name, Jesus. And he loves me, and I know I know this, 'cause he said it to me when he rescued me. There's no great love in the world. Oh, how he made a way for me. If he hadn't loved me through the mistakes that I made, I just don't know where I would be. Oh, he showed me so much favor, and now I understand the amazing grace. Through all of the pain, all of the shame, I realize there is nothing that could take your place. Best of me, but I know the giver of life personally. He's the reason that I see. Oh, Jesus, yes. He loves me, I know this, 'cause he died and he rescued me. No greater love.
Can't be messing up the presider like that. And we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you for all those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly, truly been moved and encouraged. No greater love. Which takes us the time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Associate Pastor Terrence Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
You are Jesus. You're my strong tower, Jesus. My strength this hour, Jesus. You're my deliverer, yes, you are, Jesus. My hope and my future, Jesus. Source and my shelter, Jesus.
that you have for me. Protect me from my enemies. I know that you will rescue me as I rest in you. You will keep me. You are Jesus. You're my strong tower, Jesus. My strength.
Our gracious God and our Heavenly Father, we come to you, first of all, praising you and you alone, because you are the reason for this Christmas season, Father. You are the reason why we wake up every morning with a heart of praise and with a heart of thanksgiving for you, Father. You said in your word in Psalm chapter 34, verse 1, you said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. Then in verse 8 of Psalm chapter 34, you said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Lord, you've been so good to us. Jehovah Jireh, you've been the greatest provider that we could ever have over these last 2,020 years. Father, your word says in Philippians, in 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 18, in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God. in Christ Jesus for you. Father, you told us to give thanks in all things. Father, no matter what we go, no matter what your children may be going through right now, we just thank you for the opportunity to bring our request to you, Father. Only you know what our prayer requests are. We don't know what other people's prayer requests are. Only you do. Father, you said in Jeremiah 33:3 that you told us to call on me in the time of need, and I will answer, and I will tell you, and I will tell you great and mighty things that haven't been done yet. Lord, we need to ask that you move us completely out of the way as your servant, and we ask that you do your will in the way that you want your will to be done. Father, you can't reveal your will to us for us if we are constantly in your way. And Father, the only way your will is going to be revealed to us is if we just surrender, give our lives to you, devote our lives to you consistently, Father, because that's the only way you are going to bless us spiritually. Father, we ask that you open up the preacher's eyes and give him the word that you want him to preach. Father, we ask that he be filled up with your word and nobody else's word, because we need to hear from you through him. Father, we ask that you open up our ears to not just listen to your word, but to obey your word. Father, some of your children that are listening right now are going through some spiritual battles right now. But Father, you said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, you said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places. Father, you said in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, I will keep you in perfect peace if you will keep your mind steadfast on me. Father, the only way you can do that is if we let you have your way in us, and if we will just move out of your way and let you reveal your will to us, for us. Father, Lord, you said that you will reveal your will. Let your will be revealed. Let your plan for us be done according to your will. Father, we don't know the plans that you have for us. Only you do. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 says this, our thoughts are not our thoughts. Our ways are not your ways. Father, we ask that you help us line our thoughts up with your thoughts. Help us line our will up with your will. Take our will and transform it. Take our hearts and mold it to yours. And most of all, Father, take our spirit and mold our spirit to your spirit so that we will be able to be the chosen children that you called us to be, Father, because you said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, he who has begun a good work in you will carry it out until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that the word that you sent to us through Pastor O today be a blessing to someone. Let them hear the word, but don't just let them hear your word. Let them be able to live by your word according to the way that you want them to live by your word. It is in the precious name of Jesus that I pray this prayer. Amen and amen.
Somebody just needs to testify to somebody next to him. Tell him, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better, much better. When I look back over what he brought me through, I realize I made it because I had you to hold on to. Now I'm stronger. I'm better, so much better. I made it. Is there anybody in this house other than me that could declare you made it? Tell your neighbor, never would have made it.
Never would have made it.
Tell him, never could have made it.
Never would have made it. Thank you. Power in prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Assistant Pastor, Associate Pastor Terrence Tate, for praying and making our request known to you, known to God. We just thank you. You know we appreciate you. Have a beautiful day. Thank you. All right. I am truly enjoying this service and having a good time this morning. And I hope you are too. With more to come, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Sunday worship service is happening. Okay? Be the reason someone smiled today and share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen? Okay. Time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part. Sweet icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own sister, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess Dr. June Rogers as she comes in her own way to introduce our speaker. Amen.
Amen. Before, let me turn this monitor down. Before Deaconess Dr. June Rogers comes to introduce me, amen, I'm going to play a song. Y'all know I love to listen to Christian rap or Christians who rap. And trust me, there is a difference. If you call a Christian rapper a Christian who raps, they'll get offended. And if you call a Christian who raps a Christian rapper, they get offended. But there is a difference. But anyway, I'm going to play a song. Y'all know I love to listen to rap music. I love church music, play it all the time, right? But I love this song, especially what I'm going to be preaching today. I think this song will really put us in the mind to go to a better place, another level in our finances.
Dear Father, let me pray to you. I got so much to say to you. I was taught not to play with you. So I don't know why I do all the things that I do. First tell my daddy, I said, what it do? Hey dad, we love you and we missing you. Even though you went away at 52. Lord, I know he's better cause he's here with you. Been kinda nervous to take bigger steps. Fear the higher heights and the deeper depths. I was cool with the mission that you gave me last. But this new thing, can you pick them first and choose me last? Nevertheless, I'll do what you say. I'll get at it every single night and every day. Let your kingdom come, your will be done. Use my wife, my daughter, and my son. Throw pebbles to this, rooted so deep, bring yourself up to this. Think we stopping you wrong already. Promote Christ so he known already. My team deep and too strong already. You too late but we pack up the truck and we all jumping in. Taking my soldiers and leaving my friends. We call the kingdom the business of men. Thanking the Lord for another star. And I'm preparing the way like another job. The kingdom come, we ain't never done. New levels to this is another war.
It's time to go, time to go to another land of wonder. It's time to go, time to go.
Wow. It's time to go to another level. Woo, I heard that. Can't wait till Pastor start preaching. And then Pastor Terrence prayed that awesome prayer, devote ourselves to the Lord and be blessed. So all I got to say is, from all I've heard, it's time to open up our ears. Good morning. On behalf of the entire Runner for Christ Ministries family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome, everyone, as we are blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. So Pastor is about to start a sermon series that he does every year around this time, Faith, Finances, and You. This is part one, and the focus will be on the tithe. He's asked me to read a few passages of Scripture, and so here they are, in case you're taking notes. Numbers chapter 18, verse 21, also verse 24 to 26, and verse 28, all from Numbers chapter 18. And then I'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 to 14. Again, that's Numbers 18, 21, 24 to 26, and 28, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 to 14. It is written in Numbers 18, 21, as for the tribe of Levi, your relatives, I will compensate them for their service in the tabernacle. Instead of an allotment of land, I will give them the tithes from the entire land of Israel. Numbers 18, 24 to 26. Because I have given them the Israelites' tithes, which have been presented as sacred offerings to the Lord, this will be the Levites' share. That is why I said they would receive no allotment of land among the Israelites. The Lord also told Moses, give these instructions to the Levites. When you receive from the people of Israel the tithes I have assigned as your allotment, give a tenth of the tithes you receive, a tithe of the tithe, to the Lord as a sacred offering. Verse 28, you must present one-tenth of the tithes received from the Israelites as a sacred offering to the Lord. This is the Lord's sacred portion, and you must present it to Aaron the priest. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 to 14. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. This is the word of God. May the Lord bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. Well, my. Isn't it funny when we start to get into talking about the money? And on top of that, today the scripture reading suggests that there will not only be talk about money, but giving away the money. But it's all good. I think we should think of this teaching that God has given Pastor O, which he gives to us every year at this time, as the best investment tips you could ever receive. You might even say, since the advice originates from God, it's out of this world. Okay, I know where Pastor O is going to start based on these scriptures. Since Jesus told us in Matthew 6:21 that wherever our treasure is, that's where the desires of our hearts will be. Sounds like we need to go on a treasure hunt. For sure, there's some investigating, some probing, some detective work that needs to go on. And my line of work, we would say, follow the money. Thankfully, Pastor O is going to let us investigate ourselves. Hallelujah. But he's going to provide a list of clues to help us develop a winning, God-backed investment plan with a guaranteed rate of return that's unlimited. Don't believe me? Well, what do you think a window open from heaven with blessings pouring down where you do not have room enough to receive it looks like? So, Pastor O, you got that treasure map ready? Then break it down for us.
Yes, indeed. Got the map ready to go. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Rogers. Appreciate you and appreciate the setup. Tell my boy Ray I said what's up.
Will do.
Amen, amen. It's always, I know you're like, I wonder what she's going to say today. I wonder what she's going to say today. Amen, because we always wait for that because she had been introducing me for the longest. The Lord appointed her a long time ago, and I say, Jesus, you know I know how to read, right? He said, yeah, I know you know how to read. You know how to do what I say, right? I said, yeah, I know how to do what you say, right? So I did what he said. Now I know why. Because he knows I get super duper nervous. My wife comes in. She prays for me just before I preach. And then I look forward to hear what June is going to say. Because Jesus knows he's going to use all that to fix me. Because I'd be toe up. I'm scared to death of speaking in public. And for me, even Blog Talk Radio is public. So, you know, for me, a crowd is like me and another person. Now I'm all nervous and upset. Probably going to start laughing and telling jokes. That's the way, that's my nervous tick, amen. But anyway, I thank God for what he does for me. He does this intentionally because he knows me, and he knows how to get me ready to preach his word. Repeat after me. Well, first let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today, and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you taught us how to give to you. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that even though everything we have comes from you, you are so good that you bless us if we give back to you what belongs to you. You actually bless us for that. You give us what's called true riches. You give us what's called treasure in heaven, because we get to use the things that you give us so that we can amass that treasure in heaven. And not only that, but we're blessed right here on earth too. So we thank you that we don't have to wander around or get all confused like these people running around today talking about ain't no such thing as New Testament tithing and anything I said in the last 30 years, you can just forget it. Lord Jesus, help us today to understand that you have called for the tithe in the New Testament church. In your name we pray, amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And Lord, bless my heart so it receives your word today, because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I am here today to be transformed, to change the way I think about tithes and offerings, so I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. In your name, Jesus, amen. Amen. You know, here of late, we've heard a whole lot of folks. One pastor of a mega church, and I believe it's in Georgia, Atlanta, amen, recently came out and said that everything that I've taught you about finances and giving to God, I'm going to need you to go ahead and get all of it, the books I wrote about it, the DVDs I sent you about it, the sermons you heard me preach about it. I need you to throw all that out. Come to the conclusion that there's no such thing as New Testament tithing. Amen. And so I started to check, and I found out there's a whole lot of pastors, bishops, mega church leaders who are doing the same thing. And Lord have mercy, when I listened to their arguments as to why, they took scriptures and just mangled them. There were some things that they did not understand. They denied all the rules of interpretation, didn't employ none of them, okay? They didn't understand that God deals with us through covenants and God deals with us through dispensations. There are seven dispensations in time, and there are six covenants that God deals with us, okay? And that's widely accepted throughout all Christendom. And somehow they missed all of that and have led those who wanted to not give God anything deeper into sin. Why? Because it's a sin to know what you're supposed to do and not do it. So Running for Christ Ministries, I want you to know the truth. I'm your pastor, and I want you to know the truth. So instead of me sitting here spitting and foaming and hollering today, we're going to go through the Bible. So get your Bible. I don't care what version you get. Get your Bible out. Because we're going to use the Bible today. Why? Because we're going to nail down from the beginning to today the truth about New Testament tithes and offerings. But it didn't start in the New Testament. It started in the Old Testament. Now, I mentioned to you dispensations of time, or age is what they call it. In each dispensation of time, and there are seven of them that's widely accepted throughout Christendom, okay, God revealed a little bit more of himself in each dispensation. Amen. So as people got to know God a little bit better through each age or each dispensation. The first age or dispensation starts in the garden. It's the Edenic and the Adamic, age of innocence, dispensation of innocence. And the covenant they're operating under at this time in the garden is called the Edenic covenant and the Adamic covenant. The Edenic covenant is when they were in Eden, in the garden, and what God told them to do and what God gave them and the job and the work and the rules he gave them. The Adamic covenant jumps over to chapter 3, where God makes a new covenant with them because they're out of the garden now. Okay? They've sinned and been bounced from the garden, and so God makes a new covenant with them. And we call that the Adamic covenant. The reason I'm telling you about this is because it's important to know which dispensation of time we're talking about and which covenant that we're operating under. With each dispensation of time, there was a covenant that covered that period or that age that God was dealing with man. And when we don't understand those dispensations or ages, we don't understand the covenant that God was dealing with, then we don't understand. We attach ourselves to things that's not even meant for us. He's not even talking to us. There are Christians who say, I'm in the first dispensation, really? So you're in the Garden of Eden in the Age of Innocence. No, you're not. You weren't in the garden. Only Adam and Eve was in the garden. So you don't live in the Age of Innocence, and neither do you live under those covenants. But the Adamic covenant, yes. The Edenic covenant, no, because you can't even get in Eden to live under that covenant. So you get what I'm saying? So what we're going to do is trace giving throughout the Bible and giving to God. But first, God is the one who starts the giving. See, man wouldn't have anything to give. Man wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for God giving everything and then giving man his life. So when you read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 25, that's God giving. Okay? That's God giving. And then he gave us light. He gave us earth. He gave us food. He gave us all these living creatures. He gave us birds. He gave us fish in the sea. He gave us everything that exists. That's not what this sermon is about, but we need to start. The giving starts with God in Genesis, in the beginning. Genesis literally means beginnings. And so when we look at the beginning of the Bible, we see God saying, let there be, where it wouldn't be. God created what's called ex nihilo, or the way we say it, ex nihilo. It's a Latin word, and it simply means out of nothing. So everything that we see above the ground today and on the ground today, God put it in the earth. When God made Adam and Eve, everything they could possibly want was already in the earth. Everything that we see today used to be, some of it, beneath the ground. We brought it above the ground, and God showed us how to use it. And now we have it. And you understand now better what I mean. Throughout a certain age, they didn't have toilets in their houses. They didn't have plumbing. But in other ages, they did. God revealed a little bit more of himself. He allowed us to pull more things out of the earth for us, for our use, for our good. So in the first 6 days of creation, God created everything we see today and things we don't see today. I remember when I was on Facebook the other day, a lady was holding up a little phone, but it was the 60s or the early 70s, and she said, one day, every one of us will have one of these, and it'll fit in our pocket. At that time, we didn't have it, but today we do. Okay? So God reveals and gives more throughout history. It was already in the earth. He just showed us how to get it and use it for our good, to make life better for us. So the first giver is God. And what did he give? He gave Adam and Eve the entire universe. Here, I want you to listen to what the Lord said. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. Okay? Genesis chapter 1, and look at verse 26. Now, in the first 25 verses, God has made everything else that we see on the earth, all the little animals, even the dinosaurs, and all of that stuff is on the earth, right? But then God gets ready to make man. He makes him different than the rest of the stuff he made. He didn't say this to any of the rest of the stuff he made. So never let somebody tell you that animals are equal to us. God did not say this to them. He didn't say this to a tree. He didn't say this to a little bug on the ground. So this thing called polytheism, a belief in many gods, or deism, or any of those other isms that claim that animals are equal to man, that's a lie. Listen to what God said to man. Let us make mankind. He didn't say to horses. He didn't say to cows. He didn't say to birds, the bats, and the bees. He said, let us make mankind. I'm reading from the NIV version. He said, let us make mankind in our own image, in our likeness. Who is our likeness? That's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Godhead. Three, one God possessing all the attributes of God, omniscient, knows everything, omnipresent, present everywhere at once, omnipotent, all-powerful, immutable, never changes, and eternal. Possessing these moral attributes, okay, holiness, number one, justice and righteousness, number two, loving kindness and mercy, number three, and all of this undergirded by love. Okay? That's God. Amen? So anybody not possessing those natural or moral attributes, they're not God. If they were born, they're not God. If they came into existence, they're not God. Because God never came into existence. He has always existed. There is no beginning. There is no end with him. Our minds cannot fathom things that don't begin. That's too bad. God does not have a beginning. He has always been. We just have to accept that. It doesn't matter to him if we believe it or not, because he's not going to stop being because we don't believe it. So God says, let us make mankind in our image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Elohim, if you will, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea. Wow, God gave us the ability to rule over the fish in the sea and over the livestock and over all the wild animals and all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. Now, we know that God gave them one rule. Don't eat from that tree. This ain't about that, so we're going to move past this real quick because we got a long way to go, and I want to get us there. Amen. I want to give you scripture, a scriptural account of God given to us. I just gave you that 1 through 25. And now we're going to turn from God given to us to man given to God. And to see the first attempt at man given to God, we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4. So turn over to Genesis chapter 4. I'm here already, so I'm going to start reading. I'll wait. You get there. You'll see these words are the same. Adam made love to his wife Eve. Now, let me explain. Y'all know what happened in the garden. I don't need to tell you that, right? We don't need to spend no time on that. This ain't about that. This is about tithes and offerings. Amen? New Testament tithes and offerings. What a question mark. But we're going to take that question mark off at the end. Okay. Adam made love to his wife Eve. She became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Now, one little sidebar. Adam was married. Eve was married to Adam. The Lord helped them to have a child. Wow, we see right from the beginning, this is the way God wants that to work. I don't know who need to hear that, but praise the Lord, you just heard it. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, that means they grew up. It ain't the next day, so a lot of time passed. They're grown now, and they're about to bring God an offering on their own, not without their parents being there. They've been taught by their parents how to bring an offering to God. We know that God made it up with Adam and Eve. He, you remember in chapter 3 where he slew those animals and took their coats of skin to cover their nakedness and their shame? See, we can't do that. Adam and Eve couldn't do it. We can't do it either. God did it. Those animals became the first type of Christ in the Bible, demonstrating how God in the future would cover our sins with Jesus. But this ain't about that. It's about tithes and offerings. Amen? So Abel kept the flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, as they had been taught by their parents, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face looking like that or downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. God told Cain to rule over it. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 1, he said, what? Let them rule. So all he has to do is rule. Satan cannot overcome him like he did his parents if he just rules. If he is under God, operating under God's authority, you can't overcome somebody like that. Amen? Because God said, let them rule. Satan knows he can't defeat that. He has to give up, get us to walk away from God, then he can rule over us, like God told him. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, the rule over you, but you must rule over it. Satan wants authority over you. He wants power over you, but you must rule over it. Now, let's talk about this offering. We don't know that this was the first one they bought. And we definitely know these were not Adam and Eve's first two children, because later on in this chapter, it says that Cain got a wife. Well, if Adam and Eve were the first two children, where did that wife come from? It does not lead out by saying in the course of time, Cain got a wife. Then we could say, well, time went past, somebody grew up, he married them. But no, this says Cain got a wife right after this situation here. So there was no big passage of time. There was just Cain got a wife. Where did she come from? So these could not have been Adam and Eve's first two children. But once they made it up with the Lord showed them how to bring an offering to them. Now, from here until Moses, they're going to have what's called an oral tradition. We don't have any records or any proof at all where we could confidently say that somebody wrote this stuff down and said, this is how you bring an offering to God. This is when you bring an offering to God. This is how often you bring an offering to God. Sidebar, it has never been up to man to decide how, when, or how often they would bring an offering to the Lord. We see right here that the Lord taught Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve taught their children, and now their children are grown, and they're bringing an offering to the Lord without their parents. But we don't know how often they were supposed to do it, how they were supposed to do it, or when they were supposed to do it. But we do know they were supposed to do it, and we do know there were standards. How do we know? Because God accepted Abel's offering, but he didn't accept Cain's. A lot of folks like to make a big about Cain brought fruit from the ground. But the scripture does not tell us it was rejected because he brought fruit from the ground. He brought what he had. He was one who planted things and things grow, and he brought that to the Lord. Now, previous to this, the scripture doesn't say it, but it does not say that this is the first time they brought an offering to the Lord. What I'm saying to you is, in the course of time, Cain's love for God started to dwindle. It started to go away. He didn't feel, you know how some folks join the church and they give and give, and then all of a sudden they don't give no more. They don't even come to church no more. So over a period of time, it dwindled. Amen? And so God, what we're learning here, what we want to pick up from here is God not only cares about what you bring, but the attitude with which you bring it. Your attitude counts. Cain brought it. God didn't tell him to take it back. He just told him, you need to fix your attitude. The Lord said to Cain, if thou doest well, wilt thou not also be accepted? That's from the King James Version. But, amen, but you get the point. God said, if you do well. That means Cain could do well. That means he may have brought offerings that God accepted in the past. But over time, his love for God, his devotion to God, his adoration of the Lord started to fall off. And now he's bringing God anything with an anything kind of attitude. Some of us do the same thing. Amen? Now let's take another look at man given to God. Go to Genesis chapter 9, okay? Genesis chapter 8. And now the flood had happened. Man went straight crazy and just totally clowned, and only eight people was still walking with the Lord according to that oral tradition they had that God gave them. You know, how to bring an offering, when to bring an offering, how to live for the Lord. Whatever God taught Adam and Eve about how to stay in relationship with God was passed down from one generation to the next. And evidence of that is here with Noah. Look at chapter 9, Genesis chapter 9. Now look at verse 15. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark, you and your wife and your sons and their wives. Bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth, be fruitful, and increase in number on it. So Noah came out together with his sons and his wife and his sons' wives. All the animals of the creatures that move along the ground and all the birds, everything that moves on land, came out of the ark, one kind after another. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. Wow. Who taught Noah how to sacrifice a burnt offering that the Lord would see it? And watch this. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I've done as long as the earth endures. A little sidebar. Adam and Eve operated under the age of innocence. Once they were kicked out of the garden, they operated under the age of conscience. And so here we are with Noah, still under the age of conscience. Amen. And now they're living under the Adamic covenant. Amen. Well, God promised Adam in chapter 3 that somebody was coming to crush Satan's head. Amen. And that we know that today to be Jesus, but this ain't about that. This is about tithes and offerings. So what we want to notice here is that Noah brought an offering to the Lord. Amen. And what we don't want to miss is that not only did Noah bring an offering to the Lord, amen, not only did Noah bring an offering to the Lord, but the Lord accepted it. Will the Lord accept your offering? Amen? Amen. I'm running out of time, so let's go ahead and move to time. Really flies on it. Amen. Let's run to Numbers, where we picked up with Deaconess June Rogers. We know that Abraham, now something I want to tell you about the tenth. How did we get to 10%? How did that happen? Amen. Let's go look at Genesis chapter 28. Amen. Now, come down here to verse 20. Jacob has ripped off his brother Esau for the birthright. Then him and his mother got together and ripped off Esau for the blessing and tricked their daddy. And Esau got mad and said, I'm going to kill Cain soon as daddy, kill Jacob soon as daddy died. So Jacob's mama said, you need to get up out of here, go live with my brother. Amen. Uncle Laban. Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and to wear so that I return safely to my father's household, then He will be my God, and this stone I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and that's why we call it Bethel, the house of God. And all that you give me, I will surely give you a tenth. And also, without even going there, we know that Abraham gave a tenth to Melchizedek after he went to rescue his Lot. So what I'm saying to you, apparently, in this, the custom of the day was a tenth to somebody who was in authority over you or somebody who you respected above you. They would give a tenth. But now we're going to see how the Lord instituted the tenth. Okay? Now, we're about to, we've left the dispensation. We're still under, we're moving into the dispensation of government, covenant. And we're going to be under the dispensation of Old Testament or, Old Testament covenant, right, until we get to the book of, well, actually until Jesus die and raises up, okay, and we're going to be in the dispensation of the law, right, because God has brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he has brought them to the place that he said he would bring them to, okay. So let me read this to you because I'm running out of time. I just want to give you the scriptures that show that we as New Testament Christians living under the new covenant in the age of grace or dispensation of grace are obligated to give God tithes and offerings just like they were. Look here at verse number 20 in Numbers chapter 18. The Lord said to Aaron, "You'll have no inheritance in the land, nor will you have any share among them. I am your share and your inheritance among the Israelites. I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent. From now on, the Israelites must not go near the tent of meeting, or they will be bear the consequences of their sin and will die. It is the Levites who are to do the work at the tent of meeting and bear the responsibility for any offenses they commit against it. This is a lasting ordinance from generations to come. They will receive no inheritance among the Israelites. Instead, I give to the Levites as their inheritance the tithes that the Israelites present as an offering to the Lord. That is why I said concerning them, they will have no inheritance among the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Levites and say to them, when you receive the Israelites' tithe, I give you as your inheritance, you must present a tenth of that tithe as the Lord's offering. Your offering will also be reckoned to you as grain from the threshing floor or juice from the wine press. In this way, you also will present an offering to the Lord from all the tithes you receive from the Israelites. From these tithes, you must give the Lord's portion to Aaron the priest. Present as the Lord's portion the best and holiest part of everything you get. So in short, let me say this. The Israelites wouldn't own land. They wouldn't have farms. They would be working in the Lord's house. But the Lord had required the Israelites to give certain offerings. So God said, when the Levites give to you, okay, when the people give to the Levites and the Levites give to the descendants of Aaron, the priests, so that the Levites who work in God's house are taken care of and the priests who serve at the altar are taken care of. So God says all the tithes that come to him goes to them. Amen. So that's why it says, so that there might be food in my house. So God has commanded the tithe. This is not a suggestion. This comes under the covenant of the law. So this is a part of what a covenant that they've made with God, to give God 10% of everything they have. Now remember, he's not talking to us New Testament people yet. He's talking to the Old Testament folks, to the Israelites. This is what they were supposed to do. This is under the covenant of the law and the dispensation of the law. Now let's take a big jump to Malachi, where we love to go all the time. Amen. First, let's go to chapter 1. And I'm just going to read to you because I am really running out of time. Time is just running away from me. I think the devil will move the clock up. Amen. So let's go all the way to Malachi and chapter 1. Now, the children of Israel had been bringing God tithes, and then somewhere over the course of time, they fell off. They started dishonoring the Lord. They started acting just like Cain. Over time, they just started, listen, I'm in Malachi chapter 1. Look at verse 6. This is what happens to some Christians today. They start out real strong, and then they just fall off. As a son honors his father, I'm at verse 6 in Malachi chapter 1, verse 6. You can go back and read all of this stuff, amen, on your own time. Remember the passages, read them. As a son honors his father and a slave his master, if I am a father, where's the honor due me? If I am a master, where's the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty, or El Shaddai. If you priests who show contempt, it is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. Let me tell you real quick, if you're giving less than what God has called you to give, that's a defiled offering. That is not what God asked you for. If you went to work and you made $30 and you gave God a dollar, either you don't know how much 10% is, or you're treating God like these priests were treating God and these people were treating God. You're giving him less by saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now, plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that they would not light useless fires on my altar. I'm not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled and his food is contemptible. And that's what preachers do. That's what people do. Christians do that. They get mad at the church, so they ain't giving. Preachers is crooks. They all criminals. They taking that money and buying Cadillacs and stuffing it in their pocket and going on trips, so I ain't giving them nothing. God don't need no food. He a spirit. Those are the things that we begin to say about God. You know, I ask Christians all the time who say they don't have to give God nothing. They don't have to go to church. They don't have to pay no tithes. Really, show me that in the Bible. Not one has been able to show me in the Bible where God said, don't give a tithe, don't give an offering. Not one. But they just say, I don't have to tithe. Really? Where did Jesus tell you you didn't have to tithe? God says you profane the Lord's table by saying it's defiled and it's contemptible. And you say, what a burden. And you sniff at it contemptuously. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand, says the Lord? Now remember, the Levites have to eat this food. The priests have to eat this food. Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it. But then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I'm a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared or reverenced among the nations. So what is this? You made $30. You promised God you was going to give him a tithe. $3. Amen. $3. But when it came time to give God the tithe, you gave him a dollar. You had the tithe. You vowed to give the tithe. But then when it came time to give the tithe, you didn't. But you say you love the Lord. Now let's jump over here to chapter 4. And I'm giving you some good stuff. So if you can't take it all right now, then the Lord bless you. You can hear the recorded version at your leisure. Amen. Now, we're in chapter 4. We're at verse 6. We're all familiar with this, right? But I want to read it to you. I, the Lord, do not change, so you descendants of Jacob are not destroyed. Why did he use the name Jacob and not Israel? What does Jacob mean? It means trickster. It means supplanter. It means con man. It is the Jacob, before he wrestled with the Lord and got his name changed, is that Jacob, the one who tricked Esau. And now God's people are acting like Jacob and not Israel. Israel pays the tithe. Israel gives the offering. But Jacob, he's a trickster. He's a con man. Amen? And so the Lord says here, so you descendants of Jacob, you tricksters, you con men, are not destroyed. Genesis 3:15, where God promised us a Savior, it's the only reason they're still going, because God swore by himself to send us a Savior, and the Lord going to keep his word, so the people of Israel didn't get destroyed, especially the tribe of Judah. Ever since the time of your ancestors, now, if you read the whole Old Testament, you know they clowned on God regularly, okay? Ever since the time of your ancestors, you've turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? And God says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. You ask, how are we robbing you in tithes and offerings? You're under a curse, your whole nation. Now, thank God that we don't live under the Old Testament covenant, the Old Covenant, and we don't live in a dispensation of law. Why? Because we'd be under a curse. Your whole nation, because you're robbing me, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I'll not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour you out so much blessing that there'll be no room enough to store it. I'll prevent the pests from devouring your money, and the vines in your fields will not drop. Your plans to make money will not fail, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations or the people will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land or house, says the Lord Almighty. But here's the crux of the whole matter. You've spoken arrogant against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You said, it's futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out his requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we'll call the arrogant blessed, the people who say, I don't have to pay no tithes, I don't have to go to church either. Certainly evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. No, they don't, because everybody dies and has to stand before the Lord. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who reverenced the Lord and honored his name. Is that you? Is your name on that scroll? Or have you turned on the Lord? On the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they'll be my treasured possession. I'll spare them just as the Father has compassion and spares his own and a son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Now let me come to a real close. Okay, go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And I want to read to you the first 12 verses or the first 14 verses. What's going on here? We're in the New Testament now. Now we're under the dispensation of grace or the age of grace, and we're under the new covenant. We're no longer under the old covenant. That's out. So here's the crux of the whole matter. Should we, as New Testament Christians under the age of grace, under the new covenant, should we pay tithes? Is New Testament tithing biblical? That's the question on the table. Well, let's find out. Let me tell you what's going on here. Well, Paul is an apostle. They call him the 13th apostle. That's because he wasn't with Jesus from the time of John's baptism until his ascension. He came along later. Johnny come later, right? And so the other apostles who were with Jesus and who fit that bill from John's baptism to the ascension, well, they were claiming certain privileges for themselves, and because Paul hadn't spent that time with Jesus, even though he spent 3 years with Jesus in the deserts of Arabia, read Galatians chapter 1. You'll see that. They didn't want him and the people who traveled with him to be afforded these same privileges. And so Paul is in an argument with them. And it is in this argument that we find out that there is such a thing as New Testament tithing. Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have I not seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not the result of my work in the Lord? Even though I may not be an apostle to others, surely I am to you. He's talking to the Corinthians now. For you are the seal of my apostleship in the Lord. The very fact that there's a church in Corinth with Christians in it that I planted shows that I work for the Lord. This is my defense to those who sit in judgment on me. Don't we have the right to food and drink? Don't we have the right to take a believing wife along with us, as do the other apostles and the Lord's brothers and Cephas? See, Jesus had brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, or Jude, who wrote the book of Jude. Amen? And we know James, he pastored the church of Jerusalem. And we know Peter, right? He was married. Remember, Jesus went over there. His mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus healed her. Peter wasn't real happy about that, but he healed her. That was a joke. Amen? Or is it only I and Barnabas who lack the right to not work for a living, like the priests and the Levites, because God wanted them to work in his house? He provided for them. Somebody done got it already. Who serves as a soldier at his own expense? Who plants a vineyard and does not eat its grapes? Who tends a flock and does not drink the milk? Do I say this merely on human authority? Doesn't the law say the same thing? For as it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it's treading out the grain. Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us. Because whoever plows and threshes should be able to do so in hope of sharing in the harvest. If we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more since we planted your church? But we did not use this right. On the contrary, we put up with anything rather than hinder the gospel of Christ. Now, here it is, I come to a close. It is amazing to me because there was a time in my life up until 1978, past that, okay, I don't really know when, but it took me about 15 years from the time I got saved to finally learn that there's such a new thing, because I always taught that there's no such thing as New Testament tithing. No such thing. I got into this thing called grace giving based on 2 Corinthians chapter 9 from 6 to 15. So I was a grace giver. It did not mean that I gave less than 10%. It meant, in my mind, it seemed ridiculous to me to be stuck on 10% when I need God to be in control of 100% of mine. I want him to bless the whole thing, not just 10%. But even then, I was being hard-headed. Even though my heart was in the right place, my head was lost. And so one day while I was skipping church, a Southern Baptist preacher named Adrian Rogers took me to school because I was skipping church, so I watched the preacher so I'd feel better. Anyway, he took me to school. Amen? And this is where we ended up. And I searched the entire Bible looking for tithes and offerings and found it in the Old Testament, but not in the New. I found Matthew 23 where Jesus got into it with the Pharisees and said, you tithe. Okay, you mint, your deal, you're coming in spices, right? But they were lacking in justice and mercy. He told them, you should have practiced the latter, justice and mercy, along with, without neglecting, giving the tithes and offerings. So he didn't exclude the tithes. He just said, y'all need to have some, amen, justice and mercy go along with it. They had become like Cain. They were given the tithe, but their heart was like Cain's. And if God didn't accept, amen, Cain's, he wouldn't accept them. Now listen to these two verses and tell me if you don't get it. But don't you know that those who serve at the temple get their food from the temple? Who served at the temple in Numbers 18? The Levites. They got their food at the temple because these people literally brought food. They brought animals and all kinds of things. If you really add it up, it's about 42%, okay, of everything they had. But God wanted a tenth of everything they had, and they had a bunch of different stuff, okay? So the Levites who worked in God's house, who didn't have land, who didn't have farms, were taken care of by the people who brought tithes to God. Once it became God's, he gave it to them. And so it was the Levites who got their food from the temple. And those who serve at the altar, sharing what's offered on the altar. Who served at the altar? The Aaronic priesthood, Aaron and his descendants. They served at the altar. Remember, God told the Levites, look, the people have given you the 10% they gave me, I gave to you. So you can have a food to eat, right? You'll be taken care of because you don't work nowhere but in my house, so I'm going to take care of you. With the tithes people gave to me. And so the priests served at the altar. And God told the Levites, now you take 10% of what the people brought you and give it to them. That way everybody in God's house was taken care of. Here's four words that I missed for a long time. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel in the same way. So that means he didn't abolish the tithe. In other words, tithing came right over into the New Testament church. The same way God funded the temple and that tent is the same way he funds his local churches today. Congregations of baptized believers, like-minded believers in Christ Jesus, in the same way the Lord has commanded. So tithing is still commanded. So it doesn't matter, my brother, my sister, how many preachers, pastors, bishops, or mega church leaders or whatever, don't you look, them large numbers fool you. Don't let them big old giant numbers, because there's a whole lot of people going there. They must be telling the truth. If it's a whole lot of people, they must be telling the truth. That's not always the truth. Let the word of God be your standard. Just because a preacher who for 30 years taught people New Testament tithing then suddenly come to the conclusion in 5 minutes that there's no such thing as New Testament tithing, what you taught for 30 years was wrong, why should I believe you about what you learned in the last 5 minutes? What I've given you is the pattern that God gave to us from Genesis to this day. And the same way that God took care of the Old Testament church is the exact same way he's taking care of the new. I, the Lord, do not what? I don't change. So why would God use the system of change the system of funding his church from the old to the new? Well, it's different in the new. The funding is for the preachers. You don't hear any Levites. In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. So there you have it, brothers and sisters. So the first part of faith finances in you is calling for the tithe. Amen. And for those of you who probably not paying tithes, okay, and remember this, when the Lord started the New Testament church, they didn't have no local churches. They had house churches. So they brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Again, it has never been up to us. You cannot take God's tithe and go down the street and help Miss Wesselay because she's struggling. That belongs to the Lord, and he uses it to finance the work going on in his house, to pay for the people who work in his house. So you can't take that down the street. Take that 90% that's left to you and go down the street and help Miss What's-Her-Name. You can't cut the church grass and say that's my tithe to the Lord. The Lord ain't called for no lawnmower. Okay, for instance, you cut the church grass, right? So I go to the bank I go to the electric company and I say, as a pastor, I want to pay my bill because what's the name cut the grass for the church, and that's what I got paid. Since I work at the church and that's what they gave the church, cut grass, then I'm offering you cut grass to pay my electric bill. Brothers and sisters, don't let the devil trick you. Don't let the devil trick you. Don't let him deceive you. Just because you hear these big name preachers talking about ain't no such thing, that does not mean that the word of God says there is such a thing. And since we've seen what the Lord said, now he's going to hold us accountable to that. And so we know in the same way the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. So in the same way God funded the Old Testament church, it's the same way he funds the New Testament church. So yes, the answer to the question is tithing is biblical and tithing is New Testament. In this, under this covenant of grace or this new covenant in the age of grace, tithing is for real. Amen? Amen? Now, just a word to Runner for Christ Ministries. The Lord has brought it to my attention that some of us, because the church is being renovated, have stopped giving offerings and tithes. And the Lord knows who you are. And he has not disappeared because the church is being renovated. And God has not stopped giving to you because the church is being renovated. What the Lord wants to know is, why have you stopped giving to him because the church is being renovated? God bless you. God keep you. Amen. Don't get offended. Get faith. Faith finances in you. Okay? Faith is knowing what God said and doing it. And tithing is what God said. And if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we should be doing it. God bless you. Amen.
Amen. Well, wow. A wise man once told me, you bind God's hands when you don't tithe. And you are not able to get what God has for you when his hands are tied. Everything you get is pagan. And that's not what God has for us. So when you tithe, God doesn't need anything from us. The whole purpose of the tithe is for God to be able to bless us in the way that he said he would when we are obedient to him. Amen? So don't bind God's hand when it comes to you. Amen? Pastor said a lot today. Those of us that run for Christ Ministries, we are not new to faith finances in you. Amen? So we should not be taking offense to anything that was said today, because it was biblical. It was scriptural. He took us to every scripture that he spoke about as far as tithing is concerned. So if you got beef, take that up with Jesus, because all Pastor did was bring the word of God using scripture as references. Amen. The word of God does not change. Amen. So thank you, Pastor, for the word that you brought to us today. We look forward to the continuation of Faith Finances in You. We get it every year. And so it's another opportunity for us to get right in our finances before a new year starts. Amen. So thank you for the word. Good morning, everybody. By way of just a couple of quick announcements, don't forget that our Saturday church school begins at 9 a.m. Our Saturday worship service begins at 10 a.m. And on Sundays here on Blog Talk, service begins at 10 a.m. Church history class is on Mondays at 6 p.m. This week, Pastor is teaching about the rise of Christianity in North America. The questions that are discussed are at the end of each chapter, so make sure to tune in for that. If you can't attend the live classes for whatever reason, they're always recorded. Just go to our church website, rfcm.org, and click on History of the Christian Church Recorded, and you will be able to hear the class that was just that had just taken place, as well as all of the classes in the series. Don't forget, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we have our Bible reading class. The questions are on the church website, as well as emailed out if you're on pastor's email list, rfcm.org. Click on Bible classes if you need to get them from the church website. Every Friday, 7 p.m., Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with Bring Back the Family. Tune into that. Every Saturday at 11:30 a.m., Bondage Breaker Ministries, Pastor Janice Tate holds her women's Bible class.
If you want to participate in that, please get in contact with her, and she will tell you how to participate. As a new announcement, the annual history of Christians and the Christmas story will be presented to us by Pastor O on Thursday, December 22nd at noon here on Blog Talk Radio. So set yourself a reminder to hear the history of Christians and the Christmas story by Pastor O, again, happening here on Blog Talk Radio on Thursday, December 22nd at noon. Amen. If you want to pay your tithes and offerings, rfcm.org, click on tithes and offerings, you'll be able to do so. Don't forget to check out our church website. Pastor puts in a lot of work into it. There's a lot of resources, a lot of information, jobs, all types of things. So please make sure to use it for what you need it for, as well as sharing it with others who may need it and find it valuable as well. We always want to shout out our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia. We know that we have at least one of them listening this morning, and so we want to say that we love them and we appreciate them so much. Amen. Remember to call and text, check on one another, keep all of our mothers in prayer, as well as all of the rest of Run for Christ Ministries family. If you need telephone numbers for anybody so you can check on someone or do whatever it is that you need to do, make sure to reach out to Sheila and she will get that information to you. Continue to pray for Nico Gaston, Deacon Rayfield Rogers, again, all of our mothers, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, and our sister Keila Freeman. I'm not sure if Keila's in the hospital or not, but it doesn't matter. Amen. Pray for her anyway. Continue to pray for all of the, you know, our president, vice president, all of our leaders. Continue to pray for, of course, all of our children and our youth. Continue to pray, especially for all bereaved, mourning and grieving families. The holiday season is here. We know that this is a very hard time of year for a lot of people for a lot of different reasons that we don't necessarily know or need to be privy of, but God knows. Amen. So just let's remember to be kind and compassionate and considerate of others, not just this time of year, but all year round. Amen. We are a reflection. We were created in the image and the likeness of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we should be reflecting the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit onto others. Amen. Happy birthday to my sister Carmen, who celebrated on the 8th, Elder Joe Stevens, who celebrated on the 9th, John, Pastor Jonathan Tate's son, will be celebrating on the 15th, and my sister Anita Chambers will be celebrating on the 31st. Amen. I have a devotional for you for the sake of time. I can read it next week. Pastor, if you can jump in there and tell me if you want me to read it or if you want me to hold on to it, I'll do whatever you tell me.
Yeah.
I got time?
Yeah, you got time. Read it.
Okay. Okay. All right. I'll read it. All right. So your devotional for today is entitled, Has the Grinch Stolen Your Christmas? This is by Pastor Jeff Shreve of from In His Heart Ministries. Amen. And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And that's Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. Without a doubt, Christmas is to be a time of great joy. On that first Christmas night, the angel announced to the shepherds good news of a great joy. The Savior has come. Wow, those shepherds were so excited. That announcement changed their lives forever. They were filled with joy and wonder and praise. At Christmas time, are you filled with joy and wonder and praise? Or has the devil, the original Grinch, the thief who comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, stolen those things from you? If so, there is still time to get it back. Think about the angel's announcement. There has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. What does that really mean for you and me? So one, the Savior has come to save you from a dark past. So many people are suffering with intense guilt over bad things they have done in the past. The devil beats them to death with shame and guilt, but be beaten no longer. All the terrible, horrible things you have done are no match for the Savior's blood that he shed for you on the cross. The moment you confess those sins to God and repent of them, you are forgiven. Remember what the Savior said to Peter, what God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. That's Acts chapter 10, verse 15. The Savior has come to save you from an empty present. Many people are surviving and not really living. Jesus came at Christmas not to fill your empty stocking, but to fill your empty life. He has a purpose and a plan for you, so come to him, surrender to him, let him lead you. He wants to bring you joy and peace regardless of your circumstances. He wants to use your life to make a difference in others, a difference that will last for all eternity, and makes life worth living to know that every day is an exciting adventure with the Lord, an opportunity to touch another person with the love and joy of Jesus. The Savior has come to save you from a hopeless future. Everyone without God is without hope. No one comes to the Father without the Savior, Jesus Christ. But now he has come, and we can really know him personally, and we can be assured of his presence and his provision while we live, and his heaven when we die. Paul said, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Wow, what a future is in store for the child of God. My friend, do not let the devil steal from you and your Christmas time any longer. The Savior has come, and he has come for you. Receive the good news and rejoice in the truth. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements and your devotional. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that devotional. I needed that.
You're welcome.
Needed it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Your Christmas.
Okay.
Great.
I love him, too.
That's why he was with the, you know, that's why he kicked him out of Whoville. He was green.
Yes. He was green and a mess.
His mouth real big. Looked like they're going to eat their kids or something.
A mess.
I can't wait to see it, though. That and Rudolph.
It's coming on.
Home
yes.
Alone,
it's
and
all on TV.
I'll be Christmasing, and I'm telling
it's already
you, I'll be watching
on.
It
yes,
forever.
Sir.
I love Christmas, and there's a reason
Me
why.
Too.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Crystal.
You're
Appreciate
welcome.
You. Thanks
Absolutely.
So much. I'm
Amen.
About threw my
Absolutely.
Voice all the way out.
I know.
So.
I know. And then you ain't
so
really even go
out.
There like you normally go there today. But you,
no,
yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah,
no,
you didn't.
No. I done did altar calls harder than that. But anyway.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Say what's up.
Amen. Absolutely. I sure will.
Amen. Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in today. Yeah, the preaching was a little bit different, but the Lord wanted you to know from Scripture how this tithing and giving thing to him started. And remember, this has never been up to us how much we give, when we give it, and how often. The Lord has always set those rules. So the next time you hear somebody telling you you don't have to give New Testament tithes and offerings, okay, you ask them to show you that in the Bible. Because every person on Facebook that attacked me for it, okay, I have asked them to show me, make your argument with Scripture. Don't tell me your bishop, your pastor said it, or your Bible teacher. Show me in the Bible where God said, I don't have to do it, and I'll believe you. And you know what they write me back? Then listen to this. This is how you can tell the devil got somebody. They write me back and say, it's not in the Bible. I'm just saying. God still loves me if I don't tithe. It ain't never been about God loving us. It's about us loving him. See, that's a trick from the devil. He'll say, tell him, I love the Lord, and the Lord loves me, even if I don't tithe. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, show me in the Bible where tithing is not a commandment. Now, tell me again that you love Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, you keep my commandments. Now, show me in the Bible where Jesus has not commanded tithes and offerings. And I'll come back on here and preach with you. You know my, go to pastorgmo.com. Click on contact, send me your proof, and I'll bring it right here on Blog Talk Radio. But don't send me no scriptures that you mangled up and taken all out of context. And don't send me scriptures that do not pertain to New Covenant, dispensation of grace, because that's where we live. We don't live in those, even though some of those are still, we're under those, okay, but we don't live under them. We're in the dispensation of grace, the age of grace, under the new covenant, the way we're made right with God. The old covenant was 613 laws, things they had to do to please God. For us, believe that Jesus is the Christ and that God raised him on the third day, okay, and you will be saved. Amen. Every breath, that we breathe comes from the Lord. All the strength that we have comes from the Lord to work in other places, and he keeps us safe. Let me close with this. Since we saw in Genesis chapter 1 that everything we have comes from the Lord, don't you think it's just kind of right that we show our appreciation to him by giving him what he asked for? He didn't ask for your whole check, just 10%. And then he asked you to be kind with offerings, like the little boy who gave Jesus his lunch so he could feed 5,000. That's all he's asking. Running for Christ Ministry members give money so we can give it to Gleaners, Forgotten Harvest, Detroit Rescue Mission, Covenant House, Salvation Army, Bondage Breakers Ministries, First Fruit Living Ministries. And all they do is help other people. So we give tithes to the church so the church can run. We give offerings so we can help other people. And we can be just like Jesus, feed the 5,000. Amen. So now that we've heard, Israel Houghton said it in one of his songs, "Help Me to Love Others." Oh, he calls it others, but he says, "Help me to love others as you have loved me." Amen. Amen. And he says, "I feel responsible now that I've seen." Amen. So now that we've seen, let us be responsible and give the Lord his tithe. That is the first part of faith, finances, and you. The tithe is the foundation, Christian, of everything. You're not an unsaved person. Like Crystal said, you don't live off pagan blessings. You want God to bless you intentionally. If God said do this and I'll do that, if you're not doing this, don't fool yourself into thinking because God's good to you and the sun shining and the rain falling that he's blessing you. No, blessing comes from doing what he said. People who ain't even saved get the sun, they get the rain. They're not even saved. Those are pagan blessings. God give them to everybody. Non-saved people are pagans. Are Christians living off pagan blessings and confusing it with blessings that God said he would give you if you do this? Read it all. Go back where we started and read it all. But guess what? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Pastor O wrote another book. Guess what the book is about? As soon as I get the copy written, I'll tell you. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. If you have any questions about anything I said, go to PastorGMO.com, click contact, send me your message, and we'll talk. Amen? Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all until we all meet again. And the whole church said, Amen.
Amen. No matter how you feel. church say? The church
say,
all we needed was a word from the Lord. We've got it, so
let the church say,
oh, let the whole church
say,
God has spoken. Well, 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 let the church, let the church say, let the church say. About to die,
amen.
Knowing that God is not a man,
amen.
He just can't lie,
amen.
In spite of what,
amen.
What the devil does. Let the church say, let the church say,